Good morning and welcome to the Cloud Foundry Morning Edition. This is episode 19, brought to you live from Spring One. So my name is Stormy Peters and I'm VP of Developer Relations, and I'm joined by Mark Carlson, who's actually live at Spring One. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Stormy, how are you?
So Mark, what's going on at Spring One?
You know, it's been a busy week. I think this is a new focus for the Spring One conference. You know, in the past, it's been largely about the programming framework, Spring, and the supporting languages, Java and Groovy, and they've kind of refactored that a little bit this year. So it's a combination of Spring and Java with Cloud Foundry, Pivotal's Cloud Foundry. And so it's been a great week of getting to talk to a lot of customers and prospects, as well as some great technology partners as well.
Awesome. And are you, is Cloud Foundry there at the conference?
We are, in fact, as you can probably see, if I slide out, we're at the Cloud Foundry booth. Cool. And so there's a few of us CF ambassadors here that have been taking slots for office hours. And we've had some great conversations with customers or attendees, I should say, that are brand new in their exposure to Cloud Foundry at all. And so they've been building, you know, cool applications in Java and Spring Framework, but they hadn't encountered Cloud Foundry. And so it's a different kind of conversation that I usually get to have with customers who've already been kicking the tires. And so just, you know, explaining the what is it and what's the value proposition, and just watching the reaction when they get, you know, how much Cloud Foundry automates for them, things that they, you know, have to kind of slave over today that they... they're just kind of taken out of the way. And so watching the reaction has been really cool when they get it and they realize they don't have to do a lot of, you know, orchestration of low-level containers or other building blocks, and they don't have to build their own, you know, kind of quasi-platform. They can just use it and it just works. So that's been pretty cool.
Awesome. Where do you point them when they want to go? Like when they leave the booth, what do you tell them to do next to try it out?
You know, if they're already kicking the tires and they've got kind of the ability to do an on-prem, then we'll point them to that. Otherwise, we've been telling them about the providers of Cloud Foundry that offer hosted solutions, mm-hmm. So with trial accounts. And so they can go and get, you know, a trial account. And depending on where they're coming from geography-wise, you know, we'll tell them about the European providers or, you know, Pivotal or Bluemix that are offering kind of hosted Cloud Foundry. So they can get that developer experience first. And that's what we always tell people is, you know, get that and kind of experience that. And then when you're ready to go further, then, you know, there's options to do an on-prem install or to do a laptop-based install.
Cool. And any interesting speakers there or any interesting vendors?
Yeah, lots. You know, there's some great keynotes in terms of, you know, both customers and technology. I'll just, you know, list a few of the customers. You know, Citi was here and gave a fantastic talk about kind of their transformation and what they're doing and some of the progress they're making there. Allstate, McKesson, Manulife, which I didn't realize does business as John Hancock in the U.S., is embarking on, you know, kind of agile transformation, and Cloud Foundry is a big part of that. Bloomberg, which I never really thought about, has some amazing scale in terms of the volume of transactions they do and ingesting all these news stories. So they're here. They're a big Cloud Foundry user as well. Home Depot, which has been on their journey for over a year now and talking about, you know, they've got over 3,000 applications deployed. And so, you know, some great kind of customer stories. On the technology partner side, one of the things that we've seen is the large public cloud providers are here in force. And so, and talking about their support for Cloud Foundry. So, you know, Microsoft was on stage with James Waters and, you know, talking about not only their support for open source and for Java, but also for Cloud Foundry. And, you know, they're working hard to make Azure a great place to deploy Cloud Foundry and run Cloud Foundry at scale and the breadth of their data centers. Google had a very similar, you know, Jay Marshall from Google had a very similar, you know, story about embracing Cloud Foundry and contributing the cloud provider interface layer and, you know, really going after that space so that, you know, really that value prop of multi-cloud that we've been talking about, and like I spoke about in the last episode, you know, we're seeing that borne out from the partners that are on stage and that are here in the exhibit hall and talking about, you know, initiatives to make it easy for their customers to deploy and operate Cloud Foundry at scale on their public clouds.
It's great to see the vendors there talking about multi-cloud altogether, right? Kind of delivering similar messages so that people can understand.
And, you know, in some ways, Cloud Foundry kind of competes with some of their service offerings. And so I had a great conversation at the Amazon booth, which is just a few steps away from me here. And they were saying, yeah, you know, in some ways, there's some overlap with our Elastic Beanstalk and what Cloud Foundry does. But frankly, we are encouraging our customers to evaluate Cloud Foundry. And if that is a value proposition that makes sense for their business and what they're doing with Agile Transformation, then we'd love to have them bring that workload to Amazon. And that's a similar story, I think, that we're seeing with all of the public cloud providers is, you know, to them, they can't be choosy and picky and say, well, only if you do this particular service that we offer are we going to support you. They're all embracing, you know, Cloud Foundry and cloud platforms as a whole.
And so going back to some of those usernames, like those are some big companies, Citi, Allstate, Bloomberg, Home Depot, the John Hancock. I'm curious, are they talking mostly about using cloud and Cloud Foundry as like a technical journey or as a cultural journey or both?
You know, it's almost always part of a larger cultural transformation and really tackling that problem of, you know, all the pressures that we've been talking about now for the last couple of years of being disrupted by innovative software companies. And then how do they, as a large enterprise, respond to that, either to innovate themselves or to defend against kind of threats coming from smaller disruptive companies. And so that's a very common theme. And you know, you can kind of chalk that up to marketing or FUD or think tank, you know, kind of messaging. But these companies are living it and they're actually getting it done. And so a lot of times that's a transformation from large, long, slow waterfall to agile. It's a transformation from monolith to microservices. And it's a transformation from building completely on-prem to building on a cloud platform that allows them to actually execute on a multi-cloud vision. And so, you know, these large companies are you know, despite their size and breadth and age, I mean, I think McKesson is, you know, Andy Zitney is there talking about they're a 182-year-old company. And, you know, he came from Allstate recently, which is an 85 or so year old company. And his message was, hey, if these companies with that have been around for this long can embark on a agile transformation story, what's your excuse? You know, so that kind of resonated, I think, with a lot of the attendees.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for being live from the booth. That's kind of exciting.
Glad to do it.
So let's move on to what's happening in the rest of the world. So I know there's some news. I know there's a lot of news happening right now. One of the new, I don't know if they're the newest Cloud Foundry user, but another big company to come out, kind of equivalent to the keynotes that you were talking about, is Volkswagen. So they're not only moving to Cloud Foundry or have already started using Cloud Foundry and OpenStack, but they're in the news this week for saying they were going to invest like 3 million euros in a lab in India, where they also ramp people up on Cloud Foundry. Yeah, I think we have a number of companies now that are ramping up large staff, both in Europe, the US, and as well as India. HPE had some news that they're creating a new cloud division. There wasn't a lot of details about what all that cloud division, the new one, would be. So I think we still need to wait and see what happens there. And then there were a couple of pieces of news that I think roll into some news that you were a part of. A couple of pieces of news really talking about the momentum of moving to the cloud right now. So there was a study that came out that said like 3 in 4 CIOs are heading the company's moving to the cloud. I'll put a link in the notes. And then there was another report that came out from WhatTech that said, you know, that the PaaS is growing at like 30% annually from now for the next 5 years. So it's kind of huge numbers and huge moves. And I think there was an announcement with Pivotal, and you were part of that.
Yeah, Pivotal is formalizing their partner program and channel partner program, which really, as most partner programs do, includes both systems integrators like the one I work for, ECS team, as well as, you know, software vendors. And so, you know, there's some press and some announcements around that. And we've had some very focused and effective meetings on, you know, getting kind of both halves of that channel program together. And because, you know, we feed off of one another. The more we know about the software vendors, the better, you know, capable we are to deliver solutions in the systems integrator side. So some press out there and computer reseller news about that program and, you know, some new vendors joining with Pivotal's program as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I saw that you were quoted a couple times from ECS team. I saw news about Dynatrace. I saw news with Apigee. I saw news with a consultancy called Crosslake. So sounds like a good deal for Cloud Foundry. Lots more activity.
It is. And, you know, I think obviously this is a Pivotal conference and that channel program is unique to Pivotal, but I think it's very healthy for the ecosystem overall that, you know, the software vendors, whether they be, you know, monitoring APM like Dynatrace or, you know, API management, which has a great story now with the new route services functionality inside of Pivotal. And a lot of companies are looking at API management to help bridge their gap as they're doing, you know, modernization of a very large app portfolio. You can't do everything at once. And so you can perhaps modernize the API layer in front of a legacy application and then behind the scenes change out the pieces without disrupting the internal or external customers of that legacy service. And so I think it's good for the ecosystem that, you know, vendors are taking notice of Cloud Foundry providers like Pivotal and wanting to get in on that. There's obviously a lot of competition for their attention and marketing dollars. And so I think it's healthy for the ecosystem that Cloud Foundry is attracting a lot of that.
Yeah, I agree. It's healthy for it to grow across all vendors. Your comment on, like, you know, moving legacy apps to these cloud native app model reminded me. Last night I was at a meetup in Colorado Springs. It was an open source meetup, so it wasn't a Cloud Foundry meetup. So a lot of people were very new to Cloud Foundry. It turns out half my audience wasn't familiar with it at all. I just kind of did some on the fly modification. But afterwards, I got several questions about, like, how do we compare all these cloud technologies? Like, now we've heard from Cloud Foundry, and we've heard from Kubernetes, and we've heard from Mesos, and we've heard from Amazon, and, like, you know, how do we compare them? And someone came up to me, he works for a very large company, I won't expose which one, but he's in charge of trying to help these several thousand developers move from their traditional development model to this new model, and he wanted to know what steps companies took. So I spoke to him a bit. He was a particular, like, how do I set up my development environment, my QA environment, like, very traditional model. And I offered to put him in touch with other people that I've seen speak, like, at the Denver meetup, like the Digital Globe folks. It's a challenge people have right now.
It is. And, you know, you start with, you know, a lot of these companies that have been around for a long time have application portfolios that are 1,000 apps or more. And, you know, starting with that process of, you know, how do I rationalize those applications? We call it bucketizing. How do I find buckets of applications where, you know, they're good candidates with a high degree of business value impact, but they're also not so massive that you'll never get done? You know, how do you find that sweet spot of technical fit and business value so that there's a place to start? And then that just gives you a starting point, and you obviously need to build multiple agile teams to consume from those buckets, almost like a backlog of apps, and begin to make progress. And so we see a lot of companies start with a pioneer team of kind of, you know, folks that are open to change and hungry for new learning and willing to try things and blaze the trail for the settlers that come behind them, to use Simon Wortley's, you know, pioneer, settler, town planner kind of analogy there. So.
Good analogy. That would be great if we could get them all talking to each other more, which meetups do, as well as the Slack channel. So you can go to slack.cloudfoundry.org, and you can also go to, like, the mailing list, CF Dev. So hopefully we also get them talking to each other. Also, the meetup, I was kind of excited. So Colorado Springs has a lot of defense industry in the city. And so somebody that worked for the government came up and asked me, you know, if I knew of any Cloud Foundry usage within the government. And I was so excited to tell them that, like,
right, 18F.
Yeah, 18F, cloud.gov, and the UK government, and the Netherlands government, and the Australian government, and the South Korean government.
It's like, it's a good story.
Yeah. He said, of course the UK government is there, so I didn't realize that.
GDS, yeah.
Yeah. I also saw that our container report got some traction. So we talked about the container report last time. I think you talked about it, Mark, and that it's now being quoted in other articles, not about Cloud Foundry. So, like, there's an article comparing containers to VMs, which is also a question I got last night. Like, what's the difference between a VM and a container, and, you know, why use a PaaS and all that stuff?
Yeah, those are, you know, I think what we're seeing is, you know, we're moving out of the early adopter phase where companies or groups of developers who are out in front a little more willing to be bleeding edge. And now that we're kind of broadening out and the exposure to microservices and containers is hitting a broader audience. And And you know, I guess those of us who've been in the ecosystem for a while kind of take it for granted that people know about these things. But just like the, a lot of the attendees that have come by the, you know, the foundation booth here, there's still a ton of folks and in your meetup in Colorado Springs that are new to the space. And so as ambassadors and just people involved in the Cloud Foundry Foundation, you know, we can't get too comfortable that people, of course, know all about this great tech. And so we've got to continue to spread the word.
Agreed. And anyone who would like to talk about Cloud Foundry, if you need any help getting started, you can reach out to me. And I'm happy to help you help spread the word. If you're already involved in Cloud Foundry and you want to know more about the project, all of the PMCs meet regularly. Some of them meet every other week, I think, and some meet monthly. That's in addition to the Cloud Foundry Advisory Board meeting, which happens monthly, which we talked about last week. The Runtime PMC happened within this last week. So if you're interested in that and all the details, the Runtime includes a lot of the core of Cloud Foundry, so it's an interesting meeting to go to. And it's open to anyone to join. You can sit in on it, or if you just rather read about it, all our notes are in GitHub as well. Luke, you want to tell us about it?
Sure. There's a couple highlights that I think are interesting for us. The CLI is close to releasing CLI version 6.21, which will add support for defining TCP routes as well as HTTP routes with the paths in the app manifest. And it also has updated message translations, so more globalization again. Another highlight is from Diego. They're investigating the consequences of allowing cells to use longer periods for instances to shut down gracefully, and sort of what that means. And then they started development of a new CF Diego operator tool, which is sort of would sit as a operator tool parallel to the CF CLI to look at Diego specifics. And it's gonna be called CF Dot, so stay tuned, that's coming. And then lastly, on the release integration, the big push there is, as we released Bosch 2.0, several of the manifests are being updated, but Cloud Foundry and Diego manifest are still yet to transition to Bosch 2.0 manifest for Cloud Foundry. So that's happening. They're starting to bring that in and pull new resources and figure out what that manifest is going to look like to be able to deploy and run CATS. So they're getting close. They're starting to run the CATS this past week, and we should see that update here pretty soon. So that's basically the highlights from the PMC call.
So it sounds like quite a few new changes and features in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely excited about, especially the Bosch 2.0 work. That's something that's affected our team. We've made upgrades in other places to 2.0, and you have to run a 1.0 and a 2.0 Bosch director in parallel in order to support both. So to have them consolidated together is really going to be a nice feature.
That'll be a good change. And so all the minutes from the Runtime PMC are in their GitHub repo.
Exactly.
Yep,
exactly.
Cool. Thanks, Luke.
And where do you find the list of PMCs and when they meet? And then probably for this audience, we should even say, what is a TLA alert there? What's the PMC?
The PMC is the meeting where a project gets together and talks about the roadmap, basically. They don't call it a roadmap, but they talk about their backlog and what they're going to work on next and what issues they've had so far and what pairs are working on and what people are doing. I will put a link. There's like a calendar you can add. I added it to my Google Calendar, so it's like a nice calendar with all the PMC meetings in it. And then I'll put a link to like the GitHub repository for like the runtime meeting minutes, so you can subscribe to that or follow it or whatever you do on GitHub, whatever that button is at the top, and you get them in your inbox.
Okay.
And I always think about culture when I think about open source software projects, because that's part of what I love about open source software. And they're very, the meetings are very, very respectful, very focused on the task, very focused on how to improve things. There's never any raised voices or finger pointing. It's really pretty awesome to see the team work together. And then I think we could probably wrap this up with a reminder to everyone that the Cloud Foundry Summit in Frankfurt is coming up quick. It's in September, right before Oktoberfest, or right in the middle of Oktoberfest, so you can always like plan your vacation around it. And we're planning some sort of hack day the day before the summit, probably around one of the components like Gardner Diego. So
sounds cool.
Yeah, I understand you aren't able to come with us because you have
a wedding to the family that same week, and so I don't think I would be there wouldn't be happiness on the domestic front if I had to skate away to Europe for that. So sorry to miss.
We'll raise a beer to you while we're there. All right. Well, thank you, Mark. Thanks for being live from Spring One. It's kind of cool to see the booth.
Yeah, it's been a pretty popular booth. We've had a big surge. When there's lunch and stuff served here, we have a big surge of attendees at the booth. And so that's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, we'll see you all next week. Thanks for joining us at the Cloud Foundry Morning Edition. We hope you enjoyed this episode and will join us in future ones. If you enjoyed it, please tell your friends. And you can subscribe. You can watch it on YouTube, or you can subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, or Pocket Casts, or anywhere that collects podcast RSS feeds. So we hope to see you again next week.